What's up, superstar? It is Friday, the last day of February. Starting this show off with a shout out to Mr. Mueller and my friends at North Dorchester Middle School in Hurlock, Maryland for this awesome t-shirt. Rise up. I'm Corey Wire. Welcome to CNN 10, your 10 minutes of news where I simply tell you the what, letting you decide what to think. We've got lots of news to get to today. Not a lot of time to do it, so let's get to it. We start in North Korea, where we previously mentioned that the reclusive state is letting in tourists for the first time in 5 years. North Korea says the city of Rasong, a remote economic zone in the north of the country, is the first post-pandemic tourist destination open to Western tourists. The country's capital, Pyongyang, though, is still closed to foreign visitors. North Korea is a highly centralized, one-party, totalitarian dictatorship where three generations of one family, the Kim family, have ruled with absolute power. And some tourists are now once again getting a first-hand, albeit highly controlled, look at the hermit nation.
At first glance, this could be any elementary school recital until you notice the backdrop.
It's not until moments where you see a group of 7-year-old children doing synchronized dancing in front of a giant, you know, LED screen showing missiles, you know, blowing up boats, you know, and it's like, oh yeah, I'm in North Korea.
British travel influencer Mike O'Kennedy, one of the first Western tourists to visit North Korea since before the pandemic. State-controlled Western tourism is making a limited return to Rasong, an isolated region near China and Russia. And yet, despite 5 years of near total isolation, North Koreans aren't entirely in the dark.
So they're aware that Donald Trump is now the president once again, and they are aware of the fact that talks broke down last time during the first Trump presidency. So when I asked the question, would you like Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump to meet again? The response I got was, if Kim Jong-un wants to do it, then of course we support it.
He says traveling to the secret state is not for everyone. Sightseeing feels more like a school field trip. Itineraries are tightly controlled. Unauthorized photos are forbidden. But any glimpse of the hermetically sealed nation is social media gold.
I am in North Korea.
Which may explain why so many social media influencers are snatching up seats. Ever since the death of American college student Otto Warmbier in 2017, the U.S. State Department has banned American tourists from visiting North Korea. But that's not stopping some from trying.
I do have a U.S. passport, and I also have a German passport. So that was my ticket in.
American Wendy Arbeid calls herself an extreme traveler. North Korea is her 195th country.
So how does North Korea stack up?
It was definitely one of the more unusual places to go. You know, I have to be honest, I was surprised how good the food was. They were very lavish in the food that they gave us. There was a flaming snail that was brought to me, and I was like, I don't know what to do with this, but it's cool.
Pop quiz hot shot. Which of these mammals can survive on a diet of eucalyptus leaves? Kangaroos, koalas, Tasmanian devils, or capybaras? If you answered koala, correct! While eucalyptus leaves are poisonous, did you know, to most animals, koalas can eat up to a kilogram a day thanks to a special bacteria in their gut that helps them digest the plant. The cuddly koala, aka arboreal herbivorous marsupia, are listed as an endangered species after millions were lost in the Australian bushfires of 2019 and 2020. For our call to Earth, we take a look at a conservationist group who are finding innovative ways to help their population rebound with a little assist from a tracking canine named Max.
The lush bushland along Australia's eastern coastline is some of the most important koala habitat in the country. But in New South Wales, some environmentalists fear that the combination of deforestation and climate change could see this iconic species disappear in the state by 2050.
They are an arboreal species. They can't survive a life on the ground, so trees are vital to a koala's existence, not only for food, but for shelter and for breeding as well.
Listed as endangered by the Australian government, a new breeding centre north of Sydney run by the Koala Conservation Australia aims to help the population rebound.
The purpose is to collect genetically diverse and healthy koalas from the wild to form a founder population. We will then breed joeys or juvenile koalas, and then those juvenile koalas will be released back to the wild to bolster existing populations that have low numbers.
During Australia's so-called Black Summer wildfires of 2019 and 2020, it's believed that more than 60,000 koalas perished or were harmed in that one bushfire season alone. The New South Wales government has committed to creating a national park.
This area in particular is really valuable, and it's one of the last places on the east coast of Australia that still has habitat connection for koalas from the beach, basically on the coast, all the way up to 900 metres plus in the mountains.
Without trees, we don't have koalas, and these forests need to be connected.
To help protect it, Jack Nesbitt and his canines for wildlife team are mapping the trees used by different koalas.
It tells us the corridors, not as humans what we assume koalas are using to navigate and to travel, but what they're actually using.
Wild koalas are nearly impossible to spot in the canopy. So Jack relies on help from Max, a 7-year-old English Springer Spaniel who's an expert in sniffing out a telltale sign of a koala's presence.
Max is incredible for a lot of reasons. He's capable of detecting a number of species, but what we're here doing today is detecting koala scats.
Max hurries through the bushland, and when he finds what he's been looking for, it's a tennis ball for a treat.
We're able to identify individual koalas from their poos. So they're, as the process moves through and we have their genetic fingerprint, we can identify individual koalas and where we've sampled them multiple times.
The movements of individuals are then plotted on a map, proving the wide range of habitat needed to sustain the koala and the imperative to earn the necessary protections to save it.
All right, today's story getting a 10 out of 10 goes to a Minnesota man with a plan, a steady hand, and a whole lot of toothpicks. Artist Jerry Hackett uses thousands of the mini twigs of lumber to create replicas of historic buildings and landmarks, sometimes taking months at a time to complete. Check it out.
Obviously, structural integrity is paramount when designing buildings, but especially so if your entire structure is made out of toothpicks. That's the medium this artist uses to create elaborate replicas of historic buildings, including some in his home state of Minnesota. This impressive recreation of Dakota County's first courthouse took Jerry Hackett 3 months and roughly 4,000 toothpicks to complete, and his labor of little lumber love is now on display in the county's administration building for all to see. It goes to show that anything's possible with a little patience and a lot of toothpick stick-to-itiveness.
All right, we have a few shout-outs today. Juneau, Alaska, Mendenhall River Community School, we see you. And Mr. Barr has Meek and friends at Hyde Middle School in Cupertino, California. You rock. Finally, Ms. Feischman and Ms. Rubenstein and my Bobcats at PS10, School of Math, Science, and Design Tech in Brooklyn, New York. Rise up. Cue that Friday music, Nader. Thank you to all who have been subscribing to our CNN10 YouTube channel for your shout-out requests. We are ever closer to 1 million subscribers. Go on out and make someone smile this week, and just a kind word or gesture might do the trick. You are more powerful than you know. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN10.